7:41 with us today is Amy Slavinsky. Amy is Amador County Unified School District Superintendent. I called Amy yesterday, asked her if she'd like to stop by the KVGC studios. She actually reached out to me as well almost the same time to come talk about a lot going on in the district. And it seems, Amy, a lot of this, of course, four school board members were served with the intent to recall. That means what that means now is it puts the mechanism in place for a possible recall. And if I do my math right, each district would have to come up with anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 signatures.
That's correct.
Go ahead and pull the microphone closer to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So now the signature gatherers have to go out and get 1,000, 1,200, whatever it is, signatures. Is it 20% of the district's
My understanding
population?
From talking with the folks at the elections office is that it's
25%.
So you're right. It's roughly 1,000 to 1,200
so
for
it's
each
up
of those
there.
Districts.
Yep. So it's up there. And then at that point, then there can be a recall vote. And there's different ways to do a recall from my years in the business here. One of them is just recall them. Then another is recall and vote for somebody to replace them. This one, I think they want to recall and replace with a candidate.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Of course, this just happened about a day and a half ago, and so we're still in the process of looking at all of those details and working
through that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, while that's happening and we understand that everyone has a right to express their opinions and their needs and desires and all of that, I think it's also really great and important to recognize that we have a lot of support out there and a lot of excellent work is happening in our schools and throughout the school district, and we really appreciate the support that we get.
Some folks stood up and talked about it, and that was we had that on our video. And Craig mentioned it in the story also. There were some teachers, I believe, and some students that spoke in favor of the board members and so forth.
Right.
So, Amy, this is actually aimed at you. One of the points in the recall, their intention is that, they follow you. I'm just paraphrasing this. The board follows you blindly. Follows your agenda. That's what it was. Follows your agenda. Also, fiscal, irresponsibility. And I think one of the other ones was, did they say about intimidation? And was that in it too?
Yeah,
there were three. Were there three points?
There were a variety of points. One was also accusations about lying and accountability.
Yes,
or
yes,
retaliation.
Should
say
that's it.
Yes,
I'm trying
to
find exactly here. I should probably put my glasses on before I. But they all four were served with each reason was given for the recall efforts, and they were all the same. Fiscal oversight. Failing to provide proper fiscal oversight, supporting the agenda of the school superintendent, and again, the approving the removal of Pioneer Elementary School principal Lori Carson. Now, Lori was not. Clear us up on this, okay? Because this is, a lot of people are reading the end of the chapter of the book and have not been here from the beginning few pages of the book. They're coming in at the end now. So, Lori was not removed as principal, correct?
So, Jim, you know that this is a confidential personnel matter, and I can't speak about individuals, but I can say that evening, I believe it was March 13th, when the board came out of closed session and declared their decision that was made in closed session, they indicated that according to law, and President Susan Ross cited the Ed Code. I don't remember it off the top of my head right now, the specific number. But the announcement was the release and reassignment of a director and the release and reassignment of a principal. Mm-hmm. And so you're correct. It wasn't a termination. It was a release and reassignment.
So the principal cannot be named?
That's correct. It's a confidential personnel matter. We can't make comments.
The principal that was reassigned was not fired.
That's correct.
the principal that was reassigned is a tenured teacher in this district.
That's correct.
And was reassigned to a classroom position? Okay. The director that was reassigned, where did they go? Are they a teacher too, or just to a different position?
Both positions are still in action at, through June 30th, through the end of this school year. And so everything that we're talking about right now would be effective or is effective July 1st. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, both of those positions.
So you're at a disadvantage because those people, the people that were reassigned.
Correct.
Can actually talk.
Right. But we can't.
But you can't. So they actually. Right. So was this a surprise to the people who were reassigned? Did you just show up one day at their respective offices and hand them a letter and then just walk out and say, hey, you know, hope you have a good time.
You know, I really can't comment about the specifics related to these specific situations, but I can say, generally speaking, our practice is to be as professional and courteous as we can be, and that includes giving people advance notice and having a process.
Mm-hmm. So this is not a surprise? This was not a surprise to
again,
the people?
Again, I can't speak to the specifics of this specific
what
situation.
What can you say? I can say that,
but I'd also love to talk about the accusations about retaliation.
Okay, and there was a student that stood up the other day from North Star and said that you know, she couldn't trust you anymore and couldn't trust the board anymore. How do you feel about that when people say that to you? And then they say the superintendent uses intimidation tactics, bullies people. If you don't toe the line with Amy, you're out. It's Amy's way or the highway. And I know I've talked to you personally about this, and it hurts anybody.
Sure.
That this would, people would say.
Sure.
So I'm going to let it open. Do you intimidate people?
I do my very, very best not to intimidate people. Mm-hmm. I understand that there's something that comes with the position. You know, when I became a principal, when I moved from the classroom as a classroom teacher, which I did for over 10 years, and then became a principal, I'd walk into the staff lounge and everyone would stop talking and there would be this hush. And so there's this thing that comes along with positional, quote unquote, power or authority. Mm-hmm. But as a person, as an individual, absolutely not. It's never my goal to intimidate people or to hurt people. In fact, just the opposite. You know, I think I've mentioned this before. I've raised children, raised a family, and my daughter just turned 30 a month or so ago. And so with that, of course, comes a whole lot of crisis and challenges in life. And so I can not only sympathize, I can empathize with just about anyone who comes to me with a crisis or a situation. So Amy, absolutely not.
So do you think it's the position then that intimidates people, not you? Is that what you're saying?
I think that there's probably some of that. I also believe that there's a difference between holding people accountable for their actions and their decisions. And sometimes people aren't comfortable with that. But it's my job. It's the job of all principals, managers, leaders to hold the people that they work with accountable for the work and the responsibilities that they're supposed to do.
We're talking with Amador County School Superintendent Amy Slavinsky, Unified School District Superintendent Amy Slavinsky. So, Amy, do you think you've lost the trust of the community, the trust of the teachers, the trust of the students?
I think that I have a mixed response to that, because certainly there are people who have trust issues and they've made that clear. I also know from visiting all of our schools and campuses. I was at Sutter Creek Elementary yesterday morning, and I'll be headed up to Jackson Junior High in just a little bit. I know from visiting our campuses and talking to people that there are a lot of folks out there who are supportive and who trust and believe that we're headed in the right direction.
All right. I want you to put a little rosin on your hands and get your best bat that you had, because I'm going to throw one at you here. You ready?
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
If Amy Slavinsky turned in her resignation today, would all the woes of the district go away?
That's a great question. I believe that some people would say, yes, hurrah. But I think the majority of people out there would be concerned because, again, we're moving in the right direction financially. We're moving in the right direction educationally for our students. Also on the board agenda the other night was a revision to our high school graduation requirements, which is a really, really big deal. Mm-hmm. And we had a group of 20-plus teachers, principals, and other folks working on it for a year and a half. And those grad requirements hadn't been looked at since the mid-'80s, 1980s. And so we have had numerous collaborative projects around teaching and learning that people have gotten really excited about. So,
Amy, explain to me So the answer is no.
No.
Amy, explain to me how the mechanism works. We have five board members up there who are, Susan is a teacher, okay? I believe Janet worked in the school district. We have had teachers on the school board. Pat Miller, who was a teacher and principal, was on the
Deborah
school board.
Is a teacher.
Deborah, okay.
In another school district, county.
Mm-hmm. So we have people, the general public is up there. Correct. The general public does not know the ed code. The general public really isn't, most people don't have administrative credentials, but there are they in, is the district in charge of running, is the board in charge of running the district, or is the superintendent's office, do they give you, your marching orders? Do you share with, how does the mechanism, explain that to people, because there's some confusion there.
I'd be happy to. And what I'm about to say is not unique to our school district. This is the structure as it is throughout the state and throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of professional organizations and laws and codes that give us guidance around this. So it's the responsibility of the Board of Trustees to provide oversight for accountability, governance, actions, and setting policy. The Board of Trustees has one employee, and that one employee is the superintendent. And then it's the superintendent's responsibility with his or her senior leadership staff, our cabinet, our assistant superintendents, directors, principals, vice principals, to handle the day-to-day operations of the schools and the school district. And so it's also my responsibility with that to help the board, the individual board members as well as the board as a whole, to learn their role, especially when they're new and coming onto the board for the first time.
With the issue of the principal and the director, were those decisions made by you, or were those decisions made by your HR department? Is there a cabinet that sits and reviews? Because do principals, are they, do they go by contract every year, or is it every 2 years? Are they constantly reviewed?
Yes. So all managers, administrators in the school district are on an annual contract by year, and that involves an evaluation and support process. All of us, myself included, set goals for the year. Mm-hmm. We've referred to them as SMART goals. SMART is an acronym that stands for something. You can Google it later. And so we all set goals, and each of our administrators has, we call them their person, their coach, or their immediate supervisor that works directly with them and helps them and supports them and gives them feedback. And so, yes, that happens. And
so, Amy, this was not your decision to release these people from their contracts?
It comes as a recommendation from staff, and then ultimately it's the decision of the board. When it comes to personnel matters like this,
you didn't say, "Yep, let's get rid of this person." Here's my hit list. This person did not follow my agenda. Get rid of them.
It's a process.
Okay,
it's definitely a process.
Does that bother you, Amy? When people say that, does that bother you when I went, this is Amy's hit list? No, because that's what everybody talks about. It's on social media. This is Amy's hit list. Go get them. And you have your bulldogs out there that work for you that go and get people. Does that bother you?
It's concerning. Yes, it's concerning to me because I care very much about all of the people that we work with and support.
Does that bother you that we've gotten this far, that the district has gone this far, that there are a group of people? Do you think this group speaks for the entire district, for every parent in the district?
No, I don't.
The recall group?
I don't think that they do, and it does concern me. And the number one reason that it concerns me is because it takes our attention away from what's most important, and what's most important is our students. Mm-hmm. And when we're having to spend time dealing with issues like this, it takes us away from supporting our schools and supporting our students and our teachers and our principals as best as we can.
Now, there was some also talk that the vice principal at Jackson Junior High is up at Pioneer now because the principal's not there, and that's causing problems at Jackson Junior High. Is that true?
I've heard that concern, and yes, we did ask Mr. Holly with Ms. DeLeo's support. We checked in with her first.
And she is the principal of the
campus? Ms. DeLeo is the principal at Jackson Junior High, and mm-hmm. we checked in with her first and said, hey, what do you think about the idea of asking Mr. Holly to help us out temporarily? We mm-hmm. want to make sure that all of our campuses are well supported. And so we worked together to make sure that there was a support plan in place for both schools. And so that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see us next year at this time?
Next year at this time, I see us moving forward with the goals that we've set through our local control accountability plan and the mission.
Is that the LCAP?
That's the LCAP.
And you have a meeting coming up on Tuesday?
We have a lot of meetings coming up with our LCAP advisory committee, and we have a special board workshop as well. So our board will be able to really spend a good chunk of time talking about it, the revisions, the potential revisions for the LCAP for next year.
Amy, we've only got about a minute left here, so but do you think that we should get back to the days of reading, writing, and arithmetic and stop doing all this other crazy stuff?
Well, we never left that because it's seriously literacy, reading and writing across all the content areas, whether it's history, social science, mm-hmm. math, science, is still the focus of our work.
And how do you argue when people say, all my kid learns is my kid is only being taught to take a test? We're just teaching for testing so we can do good on the STAR tests. And we can...
That has, when I was raising my children, that was always a concern that I had as well. And I firmly believe that that is not what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We talk about it because that we're accountable to that. We have to pay attention to that. The state requires that of us. But our focus is really making sure that our kids are ready for life.
Anything else?
Nope, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anytime. I mean, I've told you this before. The door is open. Thank you for being honest. For those of you that may have been watching on the webcam, you may have seen Amy was, very truthful. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for being truthful to us and answering the, even when
I
put the hit list in your face there. So
no problem.
Amy. All right. Amador County School Superintendent Amy Slavinsky this morning. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour here.